听力课堂，听 class.com。
Part 3, Chapter 1. John Milton. Paradise Lost. Excerpt. Of man's first disobedience, and the fruit of that forbidden tree whose mortal taste brought death into the world, and all our woe, with loss of Eden, till one greater man restore us and regain the blissful seat. Sing, heavenly muse, that on the secret top of Oreb or of Sinai didst inspire that shepherd who first taught the chosen seed in the beginning how the heavens and earth rose out of chaos. Or if Sion Hill delight thee more, and Siloah's brook that flowed fast by the oracle of God, I thence invoke thy aid to my adventurous song, that with no middle flight intends to soar above the Ionian mount, while it pursues things unattempted yet in prose or rhyme. And chiefly thou, O spirit, that dost prefer before all temples the upright heart and pure, instruct me, for thou knowest, thou from the first wast present, and, with mighty wings outspread, dove-like sat'st brooding on the vast abyss, and mad'st it pregnant. What in me is dark illumine, what is low, raise and support, that to the height of this great argument I may assert eternal providence, and justify the ways of God to men. Anonymous. Get up and bar the door. It fell about the Martinmas time, and a gay time it was then, when our goodwife got puddings to make, and she's boiled them in the pan. The wind, say called, blew south and north, and blew into the floor. Quoth our goodman to our goodwife, "Gay out and bar the door." My hand is in my hussif scap, goodman, as ye may see, and it should nae be barred this 100 year, and it's no be barred for me. They made a paction tween them twa, they made it firm and sure, that the first word wherever should speak should rise and bar the door. Then by there came 2 gentlemen, and 12 o'clock at night, and they could neither see house nor hall, nor coal nor candlelight. Now whether is this a rich man's house, or whether is it a poor, but ne'er a word wad ane o' them speak for barring of the door. And first they ate the white puddings, and then they ate the black, though muckle thought the good wife to hersel, yet ne'er a word she spake. Then said the one unto the other, "Here, man, tak ye my knife, do ye tak off the old man's beard, and I'll kiss the good wife. But there's nae water in the house, and what shall we do then? What ails thee at the pudding brew that boils into the pan?" Oh, up then started our good man, an angry man was he. "Will ye kiss my wife before my een, and scad me wi' pudding brie?" Then up and started our good wife, gied 3 skips on the floor. "Good man, you've spoken the foremost word. Get up and bar the door." John Keats. La Belle Dame Sans Merci. Oh, what can ail thee, knights at arms, alone and palely loitering? The sedge has withered from the lake, and no birds sing. Oh, what can ail thee, knight at arms, so haggard and so woe-begone? The squirrel's granary is full, and the harvest's done. I see a lily on thy brow, with anguish moist and fever dew, and on thy cheeks a fading rose fast withereth too. I met a lady in the meads, full beautiful, a fairy's child. Her hair was long, her foot was light, and her eyes were wild. I made a garland for her head, and bracelets too, and fragrant zone. She looked at me as she did love, and made sweet moan. I set her on my pacing steed, and nothing else saw all day long, for sidelong would she bend and sing a fairy's song. She found me roots of relish sweet, and honey wild, and manna dew, and sure in language strange she said, I love thee true. She took me to her elfin grot, and there she wept and sighed full sore, and there I shut her wild, wild eyes with kisses four. And there she lulled me asleep, and there I dreamed, ah, woe betide, the latest dream I ever dreamed on the cold hillside. I saw pale kings, and princes too, pale warriors, death-pale were they all, they cried, La belle dame sans merci hath thee in thrall. I saw their starved lips in the gloam, with horrid warning gaped wide, and I awoke and found me here, on the cold hillside. And this is why I sojourn here, alone and palely loitering, though the sedge is withered from the lake, and no birds sing. Anonymous, Sir Gawain and the Green Knight, excerpt. Now he rides in his array through the realm of Logris. Sir Gawain, God knows, though it gave him small joy, all alone must he lodge through many a long night, where the food that he fancied was far from his plate. He had no mate but his mount, over mountain and plain, nor man to say his mind to but Almighty God, till he had wandered well nigh into North Wales, all the islands of Anglesey he holds on his left, and follows as he fares the fords by the coast, comes over at Holyhead, and enters next the wilderness of Wirral. Few were within that had great good will toward God or man, and earnestly he asked of each mortal he met, if he had ever heard aught of a knight all green, or of a green chapel on ground thereabouts, and all said the same, and solemnly swore they saw no such knight all solely green in hue. Over country wild and strange the knight sets off anew, often his course must change ere the chapel comes in view. Many a cliff must he climb in country wild, far off from all his friends, forlorn must he ride. At each strand or stream where the stalwart passed, 'twere a marvel if he met not some monstrous foe, and that so fierce and forbidding that fight he must. So many were the wonders he wandered among, that to tell but the tenth part would tax my wits. Now with serpents he wars, now with savage wolves, now with wild men of the woods, that watched from the rocks, both with bulls and with bears, and with boars besides, and giants that came gibbering from the jagged steps. Had he not borne himself bravely and been on God's side, he had met with many mishaps and mortal harms. And if the wars were unwelcome, the winter was worse, when the cold, clear rains rushed from the clouds and froze before they could fall to the frosty earth. Near slain by the sleet, he sleeps in his irons more nights than enough among naked rocks, where clattering from the crest the cold stream ran and hung in hard icicles high overhead. Thus in peril and pain and predicaments dire, he rides across country till Christmas Eve, our night, and at that holy tide he prays with all his might that Mary may be his guide till a dwelling comes in sight. By a mountain next morning he makes his way into a forest, fastness, fearsome and wild, high hills on either hand, with hoar woods below, oaks old and huge by the hundred together. The hazel and the hawthorn were all intertwined with rough, raveled moss that raggedly hung, with many birds unblithe upon bare twigs, that peeped most piteously for pain of the cold. The good knight Don Krigolet glides thereunder through many a marsh and mire. A man all alone, he feared for his default, should he fail to see the service of that sire that on that same night was born of a bright maid to bring us his peace. And therefore, sighing, he said, I beseech of thee, Lord and Mary, thou mildest mother so dear, some harborage where haply I might hear mass and thy matins tomorrow. Meekly I ask it, and thereto proffer and pray my pater and ave and creed. He said his prayer with sighs, lamenting his misdeed. He crosses himself and cries on Christ in his great need.